Chapter 11, The Oblivious Ally. As they arrived at the village of Vassanum, Slate pulled reins and brought Sage to a halt in front of a triangle-shaped inn, where a bright light seeped through the window before them, and a warm orange blanket covered the sky. Slate dismounted Sage and turned to Hoovnor, who was sitting in the hay wagon. Slate spoke, "It's best you take your child to a room in this inn. I'll come back to you once I find out what happened. You have my word that I will take good care of Aloran." Huvenor's concern was evident as he asked, "What about the boy?" Slate looked at Loke and replied, "He'll come with me. You have enough to deal with your child, and she needs you. Loke and I will take care of Aloran." Tears started to well up in Huvenor's eyes as he said, "Thank you. This will be another debt I might not ever be able to repay." He then got up from the hay wagon, lifted Lily and Rex, and walked with them into the inn. As Slate watched, Hoovnor walked away carrying Lily and Rex in his arms. He turned to look at Loke and said, "Come, boy, help me carry the bag over there." Loke obeyed and picked up the bag, putting it over his left shoulder. Slate lifted Aloran and began towards the botanist's shop, with Loke following close behind. The village was still a bustling place, with open landscapes where foothills on the low mountains lay near the vast ocean. Slate and Loke rushed through a narrow path separated by small stone walls, trying to avoid the villagers who passed by as they looked for the botanist. Eventually, Slate called out a nearby villager, "Excuse me, do you know where the botanist is located? We need to get there as soon as possible." The stranger looked at Aloran in shock and quickly replied, "Yes, follow me." Slate and Loke hurried, followed the villager, struggling to keep up with his pace as they made their way to the end of the village. The aroma of fish and ocean scents filled the air as they rushed to where the hobo shop was located. As they arrived, Slate stormed through the small stone hut with Loke, desperately pleading for the botanist. "Please, you must help us now. We don't have time to wait." The woman jumped up with the panic that Slate's voice created and directed him, "Shh, I need to concentrate. Can you please put her down over there? I will look at her as soon as possible, but you must understand that many patients need my help. I will do my best, but I can't make any promises." Slate pleaded, "Can you please look at her now? I will do anything to help you in any way if you can examine her right away." The woman turned to face Slate as her short mid-length hair brushed past her face, and she replied, "You will just have to wait, I'm sorry." Her green eyes rested on Alorna's unconscious form, and her expression grew solemn. She noticed Slate's sword handle and sighed. "I'll tend to her only if you can provide me the necessary supplies, Slate. I've heard rumours about you. People call you a fiend, a snake, a ruthless murderer. But I've also heard rumours you save people and help them when they desperately needed it. And I hope the latter is true, for everyone's sakes." She glanced at Aloran, Loke and Slate and the other patients before returning to Slate. "I haven't received any supplies for a week and I urgently need them. I should have received them a few days ago, but the Martian never arrived. It's unlike him. And I'm afraid something might have happened on his journey." She sighed again and looked at the ground and asked, "I asked some of the villagers to see what happened after I noticed the Martian never arrived. And unfortunately, I never saw those people again, too." She turned to look at Slate. "Can you please investigate what happened and try to get my supplies? Once I receive the supplies, I'll do my best to help this lady." Slate nodded. "Yes, I will get those supplies. I will do my utmost, but can you please look at her now? Maybe there are supplies you need to help her, and I can get them too." The botanist nodded, went over to Aloran, lifted her eyelids with leather gloves, and touched her forehead. She contemplated. "She looks unconscious and has a fever. We need to reduce the fever before it gets worse." She went to another corner, grabbed a cloth, and dipped it in cold water. She rushed back to Aloran and put the fabric on her head. The botanist turned to Slate and asked, "Do you have any idea what caused it?" "Yes," Slate admitted as he passed the bottle to her. He continued, "I think she got poisoned. I saw pieces of fungi and oral hubs in a well, where she got the water from." The botanist emptied the bottle in the bowl, smelled it, and picked up the fungi and herb to inspect. "Yes, You're right. She certainly seems like she was poisoned. If it's what I think, then I doubt she would have lasted a week without help. She is fragile. Tell me how long she's been showing symptoms. Slate shrugged. Less than a day? She nodded. We don't have much time. But I need to examine her more, to be sure. Which will take a while. Slate nodded. Thank you. I will look for the supplies if you tell me where the merchant comes from. The botanist passed him a piece of parchment that had the list of supplies. The botanist continued. The merchant belongs to a village north of here. Just take the first right. Follow the path with the lesser grass. Thank you, Slate. I will go myself, but I'm afraid something would happen to my patients while I am gone. Or worse. Or something would happen to me and there'd be no one to look after the sick. Slate shook his head. You should never venture in the forest alone. You are required here greatly. I will go now, but can you please look after Luke? Luke rolled his eyes. Slate, can I come? Can I help? I want to help. Slate, please, let me come with you. Slate quickly turned to face Luke with a stern gaze. With suppression anger in his voice, you will stay here, boy. That is the end of it. Slate turned to look at the botanist a final time before he nodded swiftly and left the hut. Luke turned around, sat on the chair with a thump, and mumbled mockingly, stay, boy. Do as you're told. The anger boiled inside Luke until he couldn't take it anymore. With a sudden burst of energy, he jumped off the chair and bolted out the hut, leaving the botanist shouting his name and trying to stop him. Luke ran as fast as he could, not stopping until he was sure he had enough distance between himself and the botanist. As he entered the village, he scanned his surroundings for any weapons he could use to defend himself. After a while of aimlessly wandering, his eyes fell on a gleaming sword hanging over the edge of a table at a merchant's stall that sold weapons and armour. Luke snatched the blade without a second thought and quickly hid it under his tunic, ensuring no one had seen him. He then set out in the direction that Slate had gone. As Slate walked a few steps into the man-made path carved by people travelling, he couldn't help but notice a destroyed wagon in the distance in the middle of the path next to the forest. He approached it. He saw something that made his blood run cold. Human remains with deep claw mark embedded into their bodies and bloody patches leading into the forest. Despite the botanist's suggestions of ample supplies, there was only a few items left in the wagon. Slate drew his sword and followed the blood trail that led deeper into the forest. The rustling of the tree branches echoed around him, punctuated by the sudden flapping of bird's wings taking flight. His foot hit an unexpected obstacle without warning, and he stared at yet another fallen body. He lowered himself to inspect it, and noticed that the person had suffered a head injury from a blunt object. Suddenly, Slate heard a twig snap behind him, and he whirled around to see a heavily built man. Before he could utter a word, a sharp pain shot through his head, and everything went dark. Struggling to keep his vision clear, Slate saw the man who had struck him with a log. The next moment, he lay on the ground, the tears rifling through his belongings. It was all a blur for Slate, but he tried his best to resist, only to find he couldn't overpower the men kneeling on him. One of the thief asked his companion, what about him? The other replied, do nothing. Just knock him out. Leave him for the drunkanter. Maybe we should tie him up. The thief hit Slate across the head, and everything again went dark. Slate's senses slowly returned to him. A noisy breath exhaled deeply from his throat as the pitch black enveloped the forest and the sounds of the crickets chirping away. Tree branches rustled suddenly, a loud screech that echoed through the woods. He adjusted to their surroundings and saw the dragonair emerging from the trees. It had a panther's body and dragon scales and wings. The dragonair charged towards him. He tried to grab his sword but realised he was tied to a tree. He struggled, trying to break free, but to his despair, he was utterly defenceless, unable to move against the creature's approach. As the dragonair moved closer, Slate's heart raced with fear. He was completely vulnerable. He couldn't find his sword anywhere. With wide eyes, he watched the creature came closer and sniffed him. his jaws poised to bite into his neck. Overcome with fear, Slade closed his eyes, awaiting his fate. The Drangarantor let out a loud screech, and Slade felt something wet covering him.
When Slade opened his eyes, he had saw a sword had pierced through the Drangarantor's body, and the creature fell, revealing Loke standing behind it, holding the bloody sword.
Slade sighed in relief, but it was short-lived as Slade realised what happened and yelled out, "What are you doing here? I told you to stay in the hut. You never listened to me, boy." Rolling his eyes, Loke retorted, "Well, if I had listened to you, you'd be dead right now." Loke walked over to Slade, cut the ropes binding him to the tree, allowing him to stand up. Slade noticed a small sword in Loke's hand and asked, "I'm not even going to bother asking where you got that sword from. I'll deal with you later. Did you see anyone else here? I need to find these thieves. They took the botanist supplies and my weapons." Shrugging his shoulders, Loke replied, "No, I didn't. I just saw the creature," he added. "Actually, I think I heard a man's voice coming from that direction." Loke pointed towards the north, which led deeper into the forest. "What was that creature anyway?" Loke asked. "It was a Drangarantor, a hybrid creature that's part dragon and part panther. It has a panther's sleek and agile body, which means it moves very fast. We are lucky to be alive," Slade explained. Taking Loke's sword, Slade declared, "I'm going to take this until I get mine back." Without waiting for a response, he headed towards the direction that Loke gave. They saw a bonfire up in the hill, slowed down, and crouched through the tall grass. Getting close to the bonfire where they spotted the two men who attacked Slate. They sat next to the fire as the fire embers and smoke filled the air. Loke whispered, "I have an idea. I hit one of the men across the head of a log over there, and you need to be near the other man and be ready to attack." Slate grunted in disappointment. "No, that's a terrible plan. I'll fight him. There's only two of them. Please, I beg you to stay here." Slade slowly crept towards one man while staying hidden in the grass. Once he was close enough, he threw a stone nearby to distract him. As one man stood up to investigate, Slade quickly hit him on top of the head with the back of his sword. The other man charged at Slade, but Slade quickly dodged the attack, stunned the thief by hitting him on the side of his head with the hilt of his sword. As the thief was confused, Slade stabbed the thief with the sword, killing him. Slade grabbed the unconscious thief by his arm and tied him to a tree. He lowered himself while holding the bloody sword and tapped the thief on the side of the head with the tip of his blade until he woke up. "Where are the supplies and weapons you stole from me and the merchant?" Slade demanded. The thief whimpered, "They're in the tent over there." Slade turned to Loke and said, "Boy, can you look in the tent?" Loke nodded and went towards the tent. He returned and informed Slade, "Everything is there, Slade." Slade got up and the thief begged, "Please, untie me. I'll just run away." Slade smirked without looking at the thief. "Not a chance. You left me to be killed by the Drangarantor, so I'm doing the same to you." He grabbed the thief and roughed his wrists, purposely loosening the knot. And then Slade and Loke walked towards the tent, gathered the supplies, and Slade picked up his sword. He put his sword back in the sheath and handed Loke the other sword. Looking at Slade with a smile, Loke said, "So, can I keep it?" "Yes! We make a good team, don't we, Slade?" Slade gave him a stern gaze. "You were just lucky, that's all, boy. Don't get too cocky. It could be the end of you if you do." Loke sighed, "Fine. But after this mess, will you train me so I can defend myself and be more helpful to you, Slade?" Slade responded dismissively, "I don't need any help, especially from an inexperienced boy like yourself. You'll get in the way." Loke snapped back,
"That's not true. You would be dead or seriously injured if I haven't intervened and killed that monster."
Slade grunted, continuing walking back to the village. Loke followed him, sighing in resignation.